Okay, I want to preface this. I have been struggling in prayer for about 3 months now about preaching this message, okay? I'll tell you the main reason. Because I've been pastoring 38 and a half years. Something you never, ever, ever, ever do if you're a pastor is repeat a message. You just don't do that, okay? Now, I know pastors that have done that, and they don't last very long in their churches. I have never done what I'm going to do here this morning. Never. I preached this message in October of 2017 to Christ Church. I think I might have preached it at Biker's Church as well. And and I'm not saying this is God. I'm telling you my response to God, okay? This better be God, because you don't... Guys, come on in. I started here, okay? Who do you think you are, counsel? We're busy here. Anyway, it's the epitome of laziness. It's the epitome of mailing it in, you know, to do a repeat. So I didn't want anybody thinking that, so I just, but I kept feeling the Lord, if it's the Lord, no, John, that is a signature message. You keep referring to the principles in that message all the time. It's kind of like a foundational principle for the people of Christ Church of how we follow God and who we're fighting. Okay? And a lot of stuff that goes on in our lives, a lot of us are bound by lies. We don't even know it because we've been raised in it. Okay? We don't know any other way. And the reason I'm doing this again, of course, I updated and prayed over it and changed a few things. But I'm really hoping, I'm really praying that I got it right this morning, that God is going to do some freeing up here this morning in a powerful way. Okay, so let's pray right now. Jesus, Lord, I'm excited just because I know how truthful you are and how wonderful you are, Lord. And so just to take over this morning, please, God. Like we pray so often, if all they're getting is John Counsel, Lord, they're getting ripped off. And Lord, you want so much more than that, God. We can't live our lives by John Counsel. We got to live by you, Jesus. But I've got a responsibility, and I know that you can use anybody to flow through. So I'm asking, Lord, again, like we've already prayed this morning, let me decrease, God, so you can increase. In Jesus' name, amen. What's the opposite of lies? Truth, right? Truth. And even when the devil tempted Jesus, he used a little bit of the truth and spun a lie on it. Okay? He's a good liar. Now, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Okay? He didn't just say he told the truth, he said he is the truth. If you don't have the living, risen Christ alive in you, okay, the biblical Christ, you're not going to know the truth. Because he is the truth. It starts with that. It's more than just, well, the Bible's true. Yes, we know that. But some of us, Rich and Bob and Ken, some of us have been watching some preachers who, you know, have just the Bible and they preach the truth. And you could tell the truth is not in them because there's no love there. There's no presence of Christ. There's a scripture I think it's Corinthians, says the Spirit gives life, but the letter kills. Okay? It's possible to use the Bible as a judgmental tool to cut people down. It's water. It's like living water. Jesus calls it living water. You'll never be thirsty again. But you have to use living water the way Christ would. He used it to bind wounds. He used it to refresh people. He used it to wash and to cleanse. Water has power. You put it in a fire hose, you can knock people over with it. You can hold somebody down in water and drown them. Okay? Has that power. And there are people that wield the word of God for their own purposes. Okay? That's why when Jesus says, I'm the truth, the word of God and the principles of the word of God have to be ministered through Christ-like, through a Christ-like spirit. And that's why we gather together. That's why we want to be filled with Jesus. That's why he's our role model. Okay? I mean, how many wars have been started because of the Bible? It's not the Bible. It's because people are wielding it in selfish, horrible, corrupt ways. Okay? And the best interpreter of scripture is other scripture. Prevents somebody from taking one verse and building a whole cult on it. That's how cults get started. Okay? Believable lies. So you're going to get a lot of Bible this morning. A lot of Bible. Okay? John 8:44, Jesus talking. You are of your father the devil. He's talking to the Pharisees. and you want to do the desires of your father. How to win friends and influence people, eh? Boy, oh boy. You talk about just going, getting to it, okay? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Okay? He's the father of lies. He speaks his native language when he lies. He usually mixes in a little bit of truth, you know, like the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Oh, you're going to be like God. Okay? Try that out. Yeah, the Bible says no, but God will forgive you. You know, that's true. Their eyes were going to be open. They were going to be like God. Okay? Yeah, God will forgive you. What he doesn't say, though, is you may be scarred for life and you may be ruining a lot of other people's lives, even though God will forgive you. Okay? You may have regrets for the rest of your life, but God will forgive you. He's a good liar. He's the best. He's the best. I often joke with you people. I say, you know what? You're a lousy liar. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to be a lousy liar. You don't want to be a good liar. Okay? You want to be a lousy liar. You want to be the type of person that if you ever do give into that sin, somebody catches you right away because you're a lousy liar. The devil's the best. He's the best. And all his lies are believable. All of them make sense because he's smarter than you. Smarter than me. He has to be good. Why does he have to be good? Because that's all he's got. He has no power. When Jesus rose from the dead, he took away the power of sin and death and he stripped him bare. He has no authority over people that know their God. But he's got lies and boy, he's so good. Sometimes he doesn't even need that power because he's so good at his lies. 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? And he's not talking about us. Okay? Where we stand in Jesus. James 2:19. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and they shudder. They're scared to death. They hear the name of Jesus and whoo, man. They stand aside. Colossians. He made you alive together with him. I'm telling you, this is the truth here. I'm preparing you for when you start hearing what the devil's common lies are. You're hearing the truth here. And he perverts this, and he causes you to doubt this stuff, okay? He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Ken, show him your nail, okay? Ken's got a nail, symbolic of that, right there, okay? Nailed to the cross. This is what Jesus did. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Okay? Look what I did on the cross. Look what I did when he rose. Okay? Made a fool out of the devil. Exposed him. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. That's Christ. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing. There is nothing that is not subjected to Christ. Nothing that is not under his authority. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Why? Because he's the warper of perceptions. Because he's the prince of the powers of the air. We've talked about that scripture as well. He was utterly defeated at Calvary. Utterly. That's the truth. Okay? Like in Singapore, I've used this illustration before when I was there. They would have property, and property's incredibly expensive there because it's such a condensed place. And there's squatters that will take up residence in various properties. They have no right there. They have no legal right there, but they will stay there until they are evicted. They will stay there until they are cast out. They will stay there until the cops come with the deed and say, this is not yours, gone. And the devil has no authority. He's a great liar. I'm sure in that case with the Singapore thing, he could be such a liar that he would have the cops thinking, you know what they do? You know, this is a grandson of the kid or whatever, of the person who owns them. I mean, all his lies are believable. And he backs it with counterfeit and false authority, utterly defeated at Calvary, but God didn't take away his ability to lie. Okay? Putting up John 8:44 again. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. And he's still as good as he's ever been. All his lies are believable, but they're still lies. Did you read the cartoons?
Yeah.
I know that cartoon's been used for a lot of politicians, but anyway, it's certainly true about the devil, isn't it? He's the prince of the powers of the air. We see through air. We perceive through air. He is the warper of perceptions. He blows everything out of proportion. Something goes wrong in your life. I'm going to die. I'm going to lose my job. My whole world's falling apart. Excuse me. If you're following Christ, where is your faith? Okay? I don't mean to be rebuking because look at, I get weak like that too, you know, but I've got people who love me who spur me on to good deeds. He's powerless against, the devil is powerless against the shield of faith. That's Ephesians 6:16. Says we have the shield of faith so that we can extinguish the devil's flaming arrows. What are those flaming arrows? Because he has no authority, he has no power. Those arrows are lies. And one thing about a flaming arrow, when it sticks in you, it doesn't just pierce. It can set you on fire and do a lot of damage, okay? When you start believing a lie, it starts giving birth to other lies. And before you know it, you're living in la-la land, not in the truth. And he says, I am the truth, Jesus says, okay? He's powerless against the shield of faith. What's the shield of faith, okay? No, I believe the word of God. No, I belong to Jesus. No, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Okay? The Bible's filled with all kinds of promises that strengthen the shield of faith. Some people put them on plaques and walls just to remind them. Okay? How do you lower the shield? By believing his lies. Don't beat up yourself because they're good lies. They're really believable. It's easy to go down the garden path of his lies. That's why Smith Wigglesworth, okay, great giant of the faith. Look him up on Wikipedia when you get home. Quite a story. A lot of stuff online about Smith Wigglesworth. I'm not moved by what I see or feel. I'm moved by what I believe. Okay? I'm going to really go back to that line there. Kind of take that line and cut and paste it. Put it on your desktop and just refer to the reference before you leave the room here. Okay? Actually, what he's saying is not just Smith Wigglesworth. That's right out of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. We're supposed to. Okay? But he hates us. He knows how the devil knows how powerful Jesus is in you. In fact, let me tell you something right now. I don't think you will ever know. I don't think you'll ever know how powerful Jesus is in you as much as the devil knows how powerful Jesus is in you. That's why he bombards you with lies. That's why he wants to warp your perceptions. That's why he wants to keep you out of the presence of God, okay? And away from the word of God. And away from walking in obedience to the Lord. Because as you obey the Lord, the stronger you get in your faith. Okay? So let's look at the lies. Now there's thousands of them. So I sought the Lord and God, give me 6 or 7 or 5. Give me the ones that I trust that the people of Christ Church and the people that are listening on the podcast, okay, you got to share this with people because this will lift people, not because we want to get people coming to podcasts or everybody's listening. No, people need to hear the truth, okay, as opposed to lies. So I got 7 of them. Good biblical number, eh? It's not an exhaustive list, but let's start. God doesn't love you. Number one, God doesn't love you. He's too busy to love you. Now that's believable. That makes sense. I mean, got hidden sins, got hidden motives, got stuff we don't want anybody knowing about, you know? Like the preacher that got up in front of people and said, you know what? If I could read your mind? No, he got up and said, if you could read my mind and knew all the stuff of my past, you wouldn't listen to me. Don't get uppity, because if I read your minds and I knew your past, I wouldn't want to talk to you. Okay? So there's lots of reasons why we should believe, yeah, God doesn't love me. Okay? Hidden sin, but that's a lie. That's a lie. Okay? Always makes it believable. John 3:16. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's John 17. Sorry, John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world. Okay? Romans 5:8. While I was still a sinner, long before I ever got this thing together that I even wanted to follow Jesus, when I was at my worst, he loved me enough to die for me. Now, you may not be receiving the benefits of that love, okay? Because sin can short-circuit them, okay? He will not have any connection with sin, okay? And his love can get short-circuit, but that does not change his love for you. Well, how does that work? Look at He loves us, he gives us his word, and he tells us how to live. Not so that he will love us more. He knows the devil is the father of lies, and he wants us to be equipped against his lies, so he tells us how to live. He wants us to get through life with maximum blessing and minimum damage. How many of you ever played the game of life? Put your hand up. Big game of life? Oh, good. A lot of people. I love the game of life. I remember when it first came out. Well, maybe when I first heard about it, I was 8 or 9 years old, 68, 67, and we used to play Monopoly. But the kids that got their toys over in Detroit, you know, they got better toys. Cause remember Dave, Rich? You know, cause they, like, and I remember one of my buddies that, whose dad worked in Detroit, they had the game of life. We played the game of life. My life changed forever. It was so cool. In the game of life, you actually could get married and you could have kids. Can't do that Monopoly, okay? And you could choose to go to, a business, or you could take a career, and all these things happen in life, okay? And I love playing the game of life, okay? Got that spinner instead of the dice, you know? So cool, you know? Now, the Bible's like the game of life, okay? There are rules to the game of life. I love the game of life because we did it by the rules. And the more we knew the rules, the more fun we had, okay? Let's talk about, I'm giving you a bunch of illustrations together, but I hope you're hearing this, okay? The Bible tells us how to live. Why? Wants us to have a good time. Doesn't want anybody to get hurt. Wants that, you know, we go away from when life's over. Wow, that was amazing, you know? Gives us the formula. Okay? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. There's the rules right there. Okay? B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Now, you got people who think, well, this takes away my freedom. You know? Well, if we were playing baseball and the game of life has got rules. We're playing baseball, and I've used this illustration a number of times. Some of you heard it. You know, if you're puck, and you strike me out, and I say, well, I don't want 3 strikes. I want 4 strikes. What? Get out of here. Okay, whatever. And I hit the ball, and I go, and I'm clearly thrown out. I'm not out. I want to be safe. You know, no. You're out. You're out. Okay, well, the next batter comes up, and next time I'm running to second. And while I'm running to second, you know, he's trying to tag me. I pull out a knife, and I stab the guy. You can't do that. That's against the rules. Well, you think so. Well, you know what? While I'm running to third, the guy's waiting with a gun, and he blows my head off on the way there. That, we've got a mess happening now, okay? Because you take one little rule and keep breaking it and breaking it and breaking it and breaking it and breaking it. We've gone so far away from the ideal of the world. Why do you think the world is living in chaos now? Lots of money, lots of progress, but I mean, some of the things that they justify as right and that they promote, I mean, we got people murder is being promoted, okay? I mean, a marriage that used to be the foundation of society, nobody's talking about the long-term consequences of where we're at. They've decided to do all this stuff in one generation. Now, we do know through history that when these kind of things happened in other cultures, it was the beginning within about a generation or two of the complete collapse of those cultures. And nobody's talking about that. Why? Because the devil's a good liar. He's got everybody believing lies. And they make sense. And they sound so warm and friendly. You know? God doesn't love you. That's number one. Number two, he won't forgive you. Oh, pushed it too far this time. Yep. I don't want to ask how many have felt that way. Oh, boy. He's honest with that one all the time. Believable lie. Makes sense. What does the word say? If we confess our sins, it doesn't say which one. It says every sin, our sins. If we committed it, that's what he's talking about. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Even stuff you haven't even thought of committing. Okay? Don't think about it. Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west. Notice it doesn't say north from south, because you can measure north from south. North and south is, I think it's about 14,000 kilometers. No, 14,000 miles, okay? You can measure it. East to west, you can't measure that. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. That's the truth. The other stuff, it's believable. He'll have you believing that. There are people in bondage. There are people that are not here this morning because of this lie. He won't forgive you. They just stay away, you know? Number three. You're missing something out there. What are you guys doing here on a Sunday morning? Come on. You could have been partying all last night, you know? And recovering about 1 in the afternoon. Ooh. Might have been the whiskey, might have been the gin. 3-4 6-pack, I don't know, look at the shape I'm in. My head is like a football, I think I'm gonna die. Come on, sing. Tell me, oh my, what am I doing here in church? What am I doing here in church? You're missing something out there. This goes all the way back to the garden. The serpent says, oh, your wisdom is clouded. Your knowledge is clouded. He knows that if you eat that, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be like him. That's true, but it's a lie. It's a lie that makes sense. It's a lie that your whole body says, yeah. Listen, the devil knows the weaknesses of your body and he's merciless. He will attack. He'll go where you're at your weakest point. And he will use your weaknesses against you to promote and get you believing his lies outside of Christ's life. Okay? Outside of Christ's life, you're missing something there. When you take your eyes off the prize, you start noticing other prizes. Okay? I'm not trying to brainwash you. Because some of you know what I've talked about. You've got your eyes on other prizes in your past, and you're going, why did I ever stray? Okay? Okay? When you take your eyes off the prize, you start noticing other prizes. He'll even bless, the devil will even bless the wicked to keep this lie alive. Serve God, you'll get rich. Hear that one? That's another lie. Okay? Whoa, doesn't God want to bless? Well, yeah, but he's got a different definition of riches. If you serve God, if serving God is a way to wealth, then please explain to me Gene Simmons and Hugh Hefner and Howard Stern and a lot of other, you know, perverted people who have promoted immorality all their life and they live like kings. Because there's a sub-lie within this lie, okay? And the sub-lie is giving into yourself is going to bring more fulfillment. That's what the whole self-help movement is about. We talked about last week with the onion, you know? You gotta get in touch with yourself. It's yourself that's sacred. Oh yeah? Proverbs, I just wrote down the references, okay? Proverbs 14:12. That's the one that says, there's a way that seems right to you, it's gonna lead to death. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Okay? Psalms 84:11. There's no good thing that he will withhold to them whose walk is upright. There's nothing good that he will keep away from you. That's the word of God. You probably won't get rich like the world does, but look what Jesus says about riches. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? He's talking, look at, there's more to life than, you know, and we know that in our head, but boy, do we ever knock ourselves out for that other lie. You know, more stuff and I'm going to be more happy. Sublie, you know, you're missing something out there. Here comes that other sublie here within the lie. He'll forgive you anyway. Yes, he will. But you'll pick up pains and scars and regrets that, you know, he probably won't take those pains and scars and regrets away. Why? Because he wants you to know for the rest of your life after he does forgive you, don't go down that road. Okay? Because next time, the devil might overpower you with his lies and God, you might get to the point where God's having to force you to love him. And he doesn't do that, okay? He's in relationship with people who choose to be in relationships with him. That's why Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Not just eternal death, but every time you sin, you bring a little more death into your life. You know? Social death. Physical death. Emotional death. Psychological death. Number 4. Make your own decisions. Consulting God is evidence that you're weak. Whoa, yeah. Well, I'm glad that works for you. You know, you heard that one? You know? Here's another one. A bunch of them. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. I'm losing my teenager. My marriage is falling apart. I don't know why. And we're not, please, if you take the word of God and you get judgmental with people like this, man, I hope that God slaps you up the side of the head, okay? We are there to love people, encourage people. I'm talking straight with you guys because we're following the Lord here, okay? And we're trying to expose the devil's lies. You don't go browbeating somebody and beating on them because, well, you went against it. If they don't know Jesus, how in the world are they going to know the truth, okay? We have the truth. It lives through us through love. It lives through us through encouragement. Psalm 75:5, do not lift up your horn, that's your strength, you know, that's strutting, swaggering. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is the judge. He puts down one and he exalts another. Okay? Make your own decisions, you know? People think I can do it on my own. I don't know. Behind every self-made man is a God who allowed it to happen. You know? Look at my big barns, the story Jesus told. Oh, what am I going to do? All this grain, and I'll build bigger barns. And Jesus says, he doesn't use this word very often, he says, you fool. Okay? This day, it's over, buddy. Man. At least four times in the Old Testament, you hear this line, fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Why do we have to fear God? I like using my chainsaw as an illustration, okay? My chainsaw. That has the capability to kill me, okay? You use that, you get flippant with that thing, it can kill you. Wrong, and you're gone, okay? So I got a healthy fear of that thing. Men love using chainsaws, okay? Power, okay? But we have a healthy fear of that, don't we? Okay? You put the glasses on, you know? I don't want that thing to kill me. I don't want to go blind. It's very easy to go blind with a chainsaw. You get a wood chip in there too far, you scar, you know? Okay? So I got a healthy fear of that. God is powerful. Okay? I love God. I love my chainsaw. It's great. Oh, I love my chainsaw. But I got a healthy fear of it. I love God with all my heart, but boy, I know how powerful he is. Okay? It's not what you know. It's who you know. Line number five. To believe life can be that simple is immature. Come on, you Christians. You gotta be kidding me. You know? It's not that. There's no way life is complicated. That's a believable lie, isn't it? Sure, that makes sense. He's a good liar. I mean, we've met a lot of airhead Christians, haven't we? Praise the Lord. You know, like, you know? That's just immature. And the devil uses that. It's a believable lie. What does the word say? Unless you change, become like little children, you're never going to see the kingdom of God. You know, I would not be able to refute that lie very well if I didn't know the words of Jesus. It's simple when you know who's in charge. It's simple when you have the faith to believe. Well, no, that's empty idealism. That makes sense, does it? Because it's bigger words. Empty idealism. Lie. Lie. The truth is we acknowledge God for who he is, smarter than us, smarter than me. His word is more authoritative than any philosopher, than any lie, and they're good lies, they're believable. What does Matthew 5:5 say? It says, if you're humble, if you're meek, you get it all. The meek shall inherit the earth. We get it all. I'm going to own the Ottawa Senators. I am. That's what I'm going to. Oh, I think I'm going to go a little higher. I want to be the commissioner of Major League Baseball or whatever the equivalent is, you know. Hey, we were saying it. I can only imagine, you know. Oh, John, you're so carnal. Don't you know when we get to heaven, all we're going to do is be singing praises. No, the Bible says we're going to live and reign with Christ forever and ever. I'm sure there'll be a big party with lots of music for the first couple days. You know, the festival thing, it's in the Old Testament, okay? But what are you going to do, say, in year three? You know? We're going to have stuff to do. I'm going to live and reign with him. I'm putting in my resume right now, okay? I'm sure he's laughing, but he doesn't mind because he's my dad. Because when my little kids said crazy little things when they were 3 years old, I thought, oh, it's cute. Isn't that? You don't have a clue, but I love you. You're just so cute, you know? That's what our father is like that. Sixth one. All this toil isn't worth it. All this toil isn't worth it. That makes sense. Because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You know, it makes no sense to hear he's overcome the world unless the truth, unless he lives in us, unless we've surrendered to him. Because when he says, I've overcome the world, that means I, John Counsel, has overcome the world because he lives in me. It is no longer that I that lives, Romans says, but Christ that lives in me. Okay? There's going to be trouble. So that believable lie, it is so believable. Man, it is not worth it. I don't deserve this. Well, I didn't have the scripture here. I'm sorry. I don't have the slide. Romans 8:18. I'll quote it to you. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Okay? Seven is coming. Matthew 19:29, and everyone who has left houses, listen, in fact, I'm going to do this here so you're not looking at that, okay? Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. The words of Christ, okay? Seventh lie. As long as I'm a good person, I'll make it. Man, that, how can you not, political correctness today, how can you not believe that? You know, come on. That makes sense. Okay? And that's believable because, man, we've met a lot of kind atheists and Muslims and Sikhs and Buddhists and Hindus, you know, like, these are kind, good people. And they're so sincere. Look at, I want to say this as kindly and as compassionately as I can. If you really believe the Bible and what Jesus said and you're interpreting it with an open heart and a humble, kind heart, okay, you come away saying it's possible to be sincere, but be sincerely wrong, okay? Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, not even one, okay? Jesus' words, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I wouldn't believe this if he hadn't said it. I don't like bigotry. I don't like people that point and we're right and you're wrong. I just don't like that. You know, I need a savior. I think there's only one person that's right, and it's Christ. Okay? So I cleave to him. It's not, we don't use this to judge other people, but it's what, listen, his lies are good and you better expose this one. Okay? Salvation is found in no one else. Look at this. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Okay? It's not just I'm the way, the truth, life. The New Testament is filled with stuff like this. Colossians 1:15-17. The Son, capitalized Son. There's only one. Okay? The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things and in him all things altogether. God's word doesn't say that about anybody else. One person. And please don't buy into this new age garbage that it's some type of new age Christ-like spirit. No, it is Jesus of Nazareth who died on the cross and Christ rose him from the dead. He is the one, he is the only. Okay? And this lie is really believable. And boy, does he work overtime on this one. Could barely fit this one on the slide. I'm astonished. Look what he's saying here. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. They're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already, he says it again. Look at this. You hardly ever see the word repeat things. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Wow. Wow. The devil is the best liar there is. So, which lies have you been paralyzed by? Faith is more powerful than circumstances. Okay? You and I have met people that have gone through hell and we can't believe how much faith they got. We can't believe how strong they are. Okay? And then there's other people who go through hardly anything and they want to almost like pack it right in. Okay? Faith is more important than circumstance. The spiritual world, remember this, the spiritual world gave birth to the physical world. Okay? It was the spiritual world that gave birth to the physical world. That should tell you that the spiritual world is way more powerful than the physical world. Way more powerful than the physical world. Seeing is not believing. That's another believable lie. It's not on the list of seven, but that's a believable lie. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Okay? Believing is seeing. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. John 20:29, then Jesus told them, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. Now, you guys have been here. Most of you have heard the pastoral blessing that I do for you. Okay? I'm going to bless you this morning with a pastoral blessing, but it's not the same one. Okay, I want you to stand. We're going to close, okay? I'm going to turn that off. This better be good, John. You got it. Did you steal another blessing from somebody? Yeah, I did. I stole from the Word of God. Okay? And I want to bless you with Psalm 112. Okay? Psalm 112. I want you, and I don't mean to play, you know, Gospel Simon Says here, but just for the purpose of hearing God and letting Him minister to you and cutting out the distractions that are around us, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to be blessed with this word from the Lord. It's from Psalm 112, so I can say it's the word of the Lord, okay? Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. I'm getting goosebumps. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Father God, we receive your word in our homes this morning, and in our lives, in our marriages, in our places, Lord God, of business, in our relationships, Lord God. Lord, over our physical bodies, Lord God, that are the temples of the Holy Spirit, we receive, Lord God, your promise into everything that is in our sphere of influence, everything that is us, Lord God. We proclaim your lordship, Lord God, in our lives. And God, we ask for a specified anointing this morning, Lord God, for everyone that's here, God. That, Lord, you would give us a hunger for your word like we've never had before, because nothing, Lord God, is going to expose the believable lies that hold us back and hold our loved ones back like the word administered with compassion and with humility. And Lord, we don't have to flog it because, Lord, you were flogged and the work has been done. We just need the Lord God communicate it and live it, God. Let us be amazing blessings to each other and to everybody we're going to touch this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.